Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our gospel reading today, Jesus is trying to get out of Jerusalem with the disciples, and he finally makes it to the other side of this lake. But this large crowd, it keeps following him, which is no wonder because he keeps doing all of these signs and miracles that really benefit the people. And in truly godly form, even when he's trying to get away from them, Jesus doesn't judge them in their need. Jesus has compassion on them. We read, when Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat?" See, Jesus, he has compassion on the crowd, and at the same time, he's testing Philip. See, he's testing Philip to see where his head's at. He's testing Philip to see if he's learned anything up to this point. But why Philip? Why is Jesus picking on him? Well, it says that they're in the town of Bethsaida. Bethsaida means the house of fishing. In the gospel, we're told Philip is a fisherman, and earlier that this is his hometown. And so this is the guy who would know where the food is. Jesus is testing Philip in the place that he's the most comfortable. Philip, he has the home court advantage. There's no reason that he should get any of this wrong. But Jesus, he has something up his sleeve. The story says Jesus himself, he already knew what he was going to do. So Philip, he sizes up the crowd and he answers, "We ain't got enough to eat." No, actually he says, "We ain't got enough money. 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for them to even get a little bit." And then the disciples, they look around and they scrounge up some food and they say, "There's a boy here. He has 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish. See, they're getting somewhere, right? They don't have enough money, and so they pooled their resources together to get the job done. But when they've put it all together, they kill their own forward momentum by their thinking. By saying, "We ain't got enough resources either." I mean, we read something like, what are 5 paltry scraps and 2 scraps of fish for all of these people? I mean, holy cow, aren't we like the disciples? We constantly think we don't have enough. See, this isn't only about the resources that the disciples have in front of them. They have a mindset of scarcity. We think what happened to Milton in the movie Office Space is going to happen to us. Anybody know Office Space? A couple of people? All right. If not, you can look at this clip on Facebook. I posted it on there. But they're in an office, and they're having an office party, and they're cutting this cake up. And Milton is there, and they start to pass the cake to the outer edges of the office party, and Milton is watching the cake get smaller and smaller as the bucket brigade is passing it along, and then it gets getting smaller and smaller, and finally everybody around him has a piece, and he's left with none. We think we aren't going to get our piece of cake. See, the scarcity mindset that has infected the world so much so that we believe it to be normal. We believe it to be, well, that's just the way that the world is, so I have to hold on to what I have because there isn't enough. as if God created the world in all of that order without enough resources. And one of the biggest lies that we're fed by the devil is that there isn't enough, and that there will never be enough for everyone. There isn't enough money or water or food or housing or people who want to go to church or whatever it is we think is in short supply, but that is a lie. And we need to treat that lie like Jesus treated the lie that Peter told him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because there is enough. God has provided enough. See, the disciples show us as well another lie, that if they just had more of the stuff, then it would be all okay. If they just had more money or more food or more resources, well, then it would be fine. But that's not true either. See, the sin is that we don't let ourselves experience enough. And so we always want more. But we have more than we need. Jesus, he sees the predicament that the disciples are in, and so he tells them, "Well, tell everybody to go sit down." See, Jesus, he already knew what he was going to do. This was the miracle up his sleeve. And so he teaches them, not with his words, but he teaches them through his actions. And so Jesus, he took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to all of those seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And they had some left over. See, the disciples were trusting in their own money, in their own resources that they had accumulated, and they didn't even think to ask Jesus. They had not taken into account the main resource of abundance that was sitting there with them, Jesus, God on earth. They just didn't get it. But this isn't a new story. God has been trying to show us our mindset and God's abundance since the beginning of creation. In our Old Testament, anybody notice how our Old Testament reading was almost identical to our New Testament reading? Right? A man comes to the prophet Elisha and says, "Here's 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain." And Elisha says, "Well, give it out to the people to eat." And the person says, "Well, how can I set this before 100 people? There isn't enough." But he's proven wrong. He sets it before them. They ate and they had some left over according to the word of the Lord. See, the disciples, the man with Elisha, they couldn't see past their own understanding of scarcity. They couldn't see past it to see how God works. See, in these stories, in our lives, it's only when they begin to do the work of sharing. It's only when they begin to be generous. It's only when they participate in God's kingdom work that they get to see glimpses of the depth of the abundance that is in God and realize that there's enough. See, the hard part is that in order to see it, you have to do it. And that's where faith comes in. See, the act of generosity and sharing and participating in the kingdom, it helps us to see a little bit more of God's power and what the kingdom is like. But lest we get big heads about it, we're reminded that on this side of heaven, we will not see clearly. 1 Corinthians says, "Now we see but in a poor reflection, then we will see clearly. Now we see in part, but then we will see fully." Now, a fair question in the midst of all of this is, if there's enough, then why are there people without? And I think there's a straightforward answer. It's because the world, in its sinfulness, has set up economic systems and policies and agreements based on scarcity. People are unwilling to take the leap because it's scary. But every week in our liturgy, we are reminded of God's abundance. Just before communion, right, we take an offering. And we gather up the collection out there in the pews, and we take the offering, and then we place it on the altar. And then we, in the way back from the credence table back there, we take the bread and the wine, and we bring it and we place it on the altar. These are our offerings to God with our lives, and we place them on the altar before God. And God receives them. But then there's this switch that happens. God takes our offerings, and then we use them through the church to keep the church going and the ministries alive, and we feed the poor with it. And then God takes the bread and the wine and receives it and then gives it back to us to feed our souls for the week ahead. That is God showing us God's abundance every week, using what we have. There's enough. So, friends, this week, when you catch yourself with a mindset of scarcity, may you all be reminded of the abundance that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.